inside of persecuted church in countries that are closed and stuff around the world. So thank you.
The original idea was to do that and then have a Bible sale out in the foyer. But I vetoed that and just said, let's give them back. Okay, Numbers chapter 23. Verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. All the ladies can say amen this morning. Oh, come on now, I thought that would be funnier than that, right? God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. Nor the Son of Man that he should repent. He has said, has he said, and will he not do? Look at this. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Has God said anything that he's not going to do? In other words, has God made a promise that he's not going to keep? Has God said something he was going to do and then didn't do it or won't do it? God isn't a man that he'd make a promise, not keep it, or say something, not do it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Let's look at that. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. This verse says this. The Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. The Amplified Bible said, I'm watching my word to perform it. I want you to think of that for a minute. I'm keeping an eye on what I've said. I'm remembering what I've said. I want you to think of your life today and think about this. Have you said something in the past? And are you looking at the things you've promised in your life to do them? This is God. God is doing this. God is watching his word to perform it. Think of the implications of that. God is examining his own promises and performing every one of them. I want to talk today about what it means when we say this word, God is faithful. God is faithful. Father, bless this time this morning. I pray you'd minister to our hearts and encourage us through these words in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. What does it mean when people say, well, God is faithful? I would say to you it means this. That God is not a man that he should lie. Did he say something that he's not going to do? Is God going to keep all his promises? The Bible says the promises of God are yea and amen. Right? He is watching his word to perform it. God is faithful means he is a promise keeper. He is consistent. He never lies. God's word is eternal. And God's word is going to be kept. God is faithful. He says what he means, and he does what he says, and he keeps his promises without exception. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required that a steward be found faithful. It is required that a steward be found faithful. A steward is a manager. A steward is one who's been delegated responsibility. If the steward says he's going to do something, it's required that he be found doing it. Hello? Everybody understand this morning? I want you to think about the faithfulness of God in terms of him keeping his word. I will tell you today, people do not keep their word anymore. Overgeneralization, but not an exaggeration. Oh, I'll do that. I'll help with that. I'll take you here. Dads do this with their kids. Husbands do this with their wives. Wives do this with other people, with their husbands and kids. Listen, God is faithful. Means he's watching his word to perform it. You know where we see this most evidently is in marriage. And we see people every year heading to court to end their marriage. About 50% of the people that were married yesterday will not be married in 5 years. Would you think of what that means? 5 years. 50% of the weddings that you've attended in the last 10 years. Think about those weddings. Think about a wedding you went to in 2009 or 8. How's that couple doing? They still together? I can go back to a couple, and they were in the church. The three of them are together still. One of them's not together anymore. That's in the church. That's fortunate. But I know family members. Wow. It's an incredibly sad statistic. But it's the reality of this. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if you've been divorced, I don't want you to be condemned this morning. But I just want you to think about this. God is faithful. God is faithful. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Says this. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. Isn't that hilarious? Most men will proclaim his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful man? It's amazing in this political season. Everyone proclaiming their own goodness. But who can find one that will actually follow through on their commitments and promises? Who can find somebody, or who is that person, that when they say they're going to do something, you can bank on it. You know, I have a commitment from that man. It's as good as gold. Now, I hope that you are the kind of person that is endeavoring to build the character and reputation that when you say you're going to do something, people don't roll their eyes, look at their watch, and make bets among each other how quickly it'll take you to break your promise. But that when you make a commitment, you say, I'm going, I'll be there. I'll finish this job. I'll help with this. You can count on me, I'm in. That people will be able to bank on you being Christ-like. And Christ is faithful. Used to think about there was a particular individual who would say they were going to help with things all the time, and you just knew it can happen. and you would literally know this person's going to break this appointment. I'm just planning on doing something else. I can double book my calendar when this person tells me they're going to do something because I know I'm going to get a last minute. I can't do it. I can't make it. I won't be there. How sad. I won't never give up on that person, but how sad when I know that if this one starts something, it's not going to get finished. If this one makes a promise, they're not going to keep it. How sad for me to think of the fact that there's been things I've said I'd do that I didn't do. How profoundly sad to think of my own life that way. See, God, however, is faithful. Now, yesterday I had the privilege, and I say this with all intensity and sincerity. I had the absolute profound privilege to be at Harry Bennett Sr.'s funeral yesterday. And to hear about this man's life, absolutely incredible. And this is the picture that was painted of this man by those present. He did nothing extraordinary. This guy didn't build any skyscrapers. This guy didn't make millions of dollars and employ thousands of people. This guy didn't build cities. This guy didn't do these great things that people call great things. He did nothing extraordinary, but the testimonies of everyone in that room poured in about his love for people and his consistency with the details and tasks that God laid before him to do. One young lady got up, probably in her 30s now. She said, when I was a little girl, he always greeted me at church. And when I wasn't there, he called me looking for me. Another man got up and said, every couple months, he'd come next door and say, why don't you come to church? Why don't you come with me to church? Why don't you come with me to church? Come to a dinner with me. Come to a dinner with me. One after the other, these people got up and just testified about this man's love for them. And the picture they painted was a man standing at the door week after week at top of the stairs of that church. You come in the side door and you go up a set of stairs into the chapel. There would be Mr. Bennett standing at the top of those stairs every single week greeting people, saying how glad he was to see them, and then demonstrating how glad he was to see them. He'd give them rides places. He'd help them. He'd call them. He was always available. The consummate deacon. Just amazing service and just doing the fundamental basic task of loving one another. And to have hundreds of people in a room saying, he changed my life. He didn't give them thousands of dollars. He didn't build them houses. He didn't all, just was there being faithful to God. And in addition to that, to know his background, that as a young married man, his wife died. And his daughter died, Harry's sister. Harry's mother, Harry, when he was a young boy, his mother died. And then his father remarried Sharon and had three more children. This man stayed faithful to God. He just stayed in the race. Because I want to tell you this. Many times, it's not until after your tragedy that God begins to use you because you're at your weakest point. That's when you learn God's faithfulness. It's when you feel your lowest and you think it can't get any worse, but you stay in that race. You stay faithful. That's when God shows up, because God is faithful. In Exodus chapter 34, God is about to do something absolutely incredible. something amazing. Exodus 34, verse 10. I make a covenant. Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as not have been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. And they say, what was it? Doesn't even matter. But he was going to take them into the promised land and dispel all the obstacles and deliver them his promise. But think of what he's saying. I'm going to do incredibly amazing things that no one has ever seen. No nation has ever experienced. No people have ever witnessed. I'm going to do those things. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you're going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you will destroy their altars, break their sacred pillows, and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. And then it says, you know, you have the potential of making covenants with the wrong people in the wrong place. But there were three problems with the affections of Israel. And this, I believe, is the same problem with you and I. God is about to do something absolutely incredible. He's about to do something amazing for them. They were at their weakest point, and God says, I'm going to do something incredible. But there were three problems. Number one, there was leaven in their homes. Number two, there were rabble among them, the mixed multitude. And number three, there were idolatrous heathen all throughout the promised land. They were surrounded. They were in a world filled with idolatry. But there was leaven in their own homes. Leaven meaning, and the picture of leaven is personal, internal compromise. Personal, internal compromise. Leaven in the home. Compromise in the home. The rabble, or those among them, were those whose attentions and affections remained connected with Egypt. These were the people that kept saying, let's just go back. Let's just go back. Oh, if I could just go back. You know what? Beware when you hear yourself talking about the good old days. There were some great things that happened. Sometimes we reminisce and we talk about great things that happened. But beware when you talk about the good old days. Because there's great new days coming. But this group of people, this rabble, they got out in the wilderness and they were being challenged with the difficulties. And their first thought was, let's go back to Egypt, you know? And I can remember a time several years ago where I thought, you know, maybe I ought to just go back to Massachusetts. This is too tough. Let me just go back to Massachusetts. I'll get a job. My family knows people. I could get a job easily, make some good money, get a nice house, be done. Now I have to deal with all the demonic and all blah, 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 blah. And every single person in this room at one point or another has been tempted to go back to an old lifestyle or go back to an old place. And the third issue is the idolatrous heathen in the promised land. There are people all around us and things all around us that are grabbing for our attention, our world. And the problem that would happen with Egypt is God's warning them, saying, you know all these idolatrous heathen? Don't make peace with them. Don't have peace with idolatry. Don't be okay with the idolatry in the world. Don't be okay with it. It's not okay. Love them. Care for them. Do the best you can to help them any way possible. But don't be okay with their lifestyles. Don't be okay with their idolatry. Don't be okay with materialism. Don't be okay with sensuality. Don't be okay with all these idolatrous activities in the world. Don't be okay with it. It's not okay. It's destructive, damaging, infectious, polluting, powerful, deceptive, and dangerous. Don't be okay with it. It's not okay. The compromising covenants that we make when we're tempted to be part of things around us. God says, I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. I want your heart. I'm a jealous God, and I want your heart. I want your affections. I want your mind. I want you to want me. I want to be loved by you. That's a jealous God. And I've said this to you before. How many of you are married here or have been married? Would you be okay if your husband was 99% faithful? Right? Or would you be okay if your wife was faithful to you 99.9% of the time? See, faithfulness isn't partial. It's all in. It's forsaking all others. But it's keeping your word. And that's what God has done for us. He's been 100% faithful all the time. But you know, here's the amazing thing about this. Why don't you turn to 2 Timothy 2:13. 2 Timothy. Because a question might arise in your mind, well, God told him to keep my commands. Beware of these things. Don't have the leaven in your house. Don't get involved with the rabble and go back to Egypt. Stay away from all these idols. Well, how come they still got the how come God's still going to keep his promise? Because of that exactly. Because no matter what, God's going to keep his word. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says this, even if we are faithless. Read this verse out loud with me. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Read that out again. Even if we are, there's five people reading, come on. Even if we are faithless, say it out loud. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He can't go against who he is. Even if we blow it, even if we screw it up, even if we make big mistakes and fail, fall flat on our face, he stays faithful. God can't deny himself. That's not an excuse for us to do whatever we want. That's just the reality of who God is. Don't try to change in your mind who you think God is because you think it's some excuse for people to behave badly. Listen, people behave badly whether they think they have an excuse or not. Somebody said, well, you teach grace as a license to sin. Listen, I don't need a license to sin. I do it fine without a license. It's part of my character and nature. I don't need somebody to tell me. It just happens. That's who we are as people. But see, God will change our hearts. God will discipline his children. God loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And God is going to be faithful. God is going to give you peace. God is going to bless your family. God is going to care for you. God is not going to drop the ball. Do you understand? Listen to me. Listen to me. God is not going to drop the ball here. God is faithful. God's going to be faithful to you because he can't change. It's impossible for God to lie. Did you hear what I just said? It's impossible for God to say, cast your every care on me. I'll care for you. It's impossible for him to be joking about that. It's impossible for God to say that he'll forgive us all our trespasses. It's impossible for him to say that if he won't do it. I'll never leave you or forsake you. See, God can't not do that now. He's watching his word to perform it. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to abandon you. Hello? He's not going to abandon you. Faithful is he who called you. He'll also do it. What's he going to do? He's going to complete what he started in you, Philippians 1:6. But I'm not... I haven't been faithful. I've been distracted. I've been stressed. My mind's all over the place. It doesn't matter. God's going to be faithful. Set your affection on that. Set your affection on those things. Put your mind on God's faithfulness. Stop being the focus of your own difficulty. You don't need to focus on yourself. We spend way too much time thinking about ourselves. Let's be honest. Whether it's the physical ailments, the mental strains, the relational toils, or the circumstantial problems, any one of those four things, we have plenty of fodder to spend our time dealing with. But you know what God says? Set your mind on things above. Looking unto Jesus. There he is. Look at him. Looking unto Jesus. The author. Listen to me this morning. Looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. He's going to finish my faith. I got a guarantee because he said he would. And I know he's faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. He's going to finish my faith. You know what I'm excited about? God finishing my faith. You know what I'm excited about? God building me and transforming me into the image of his son. You know why I can get excited about that? Because it's guaranteed to happen. You say, well, what do you mean it's guaranteed? What if you fight him? What if you sin? What if you turn away? What if you stop following God? Even if I'm not faithful, God abides faithful because he can't deny himself. Now somebody shout amen, hallelujah, or say shucks and go home. Listen, it's all about God. It's all about grace. It's all about what he's going to do. See, God's going to do this thing in your life. Now here's the rub to the whole thing, right? Here's the rub. Would you rather cooperate or be dragged along? Would you rather cooperate or be dragged along? Because God's going to be faithful. He's going to make you more like his son. You're in now. You're his child. You're his child. I said to someone in Sunday school today who will remain nameless, I said, so tell me something. I said, we were talking about Romans 12, present yourself a living sacrifice. And I said, so let me ask you a question about your room. To this young person, I said, is your room a disaster? He said, yes. He was very honest. I gotta commend him. He was honest. I said, so it's like a dump. He said, sort of. I said, clothes everywhere. He said, there's a few things on the floor, he said. I said, so it looks like Seneca Meadows. He said, he didn't know what that meant. So I said, so what does present yourself to God look like with that? He said, pick up my room. I said, it's a revelation from God. I said, pick up your room without being asked. Imagine, without being told, that you present yourself to God. See, this is what I mean by cooperation. You present yourself to God for service. You present yourself to God for obedience. Or you can be dragged along in discipline. Like that verse says, don't be like the horse that needs the bit and the bridle and the whip to move along and to be convinced on what you need to do. How much convincing do we need? How's it going when you're at the wheel? How's it going when you're in control? How are you doing when you're controlling life and not submitting yourself to God, committing yourself to God, and presenting yourself to God? How's that look? It's painful. It's not pretty. It's a mess. What happens when you get challenged with personal sin in your life? I get angry. I withdraw. Oh, I know. Because you don't want to cooperate. It's all right. God's going to be faithful. If you're really his, God's going to be faithful. And it may be painful. And I mean painful. when God disciplines his children, it's not always a nice little talk. Sometimes it's a major problem. Sometimes it can even be the death of the believer, God taking you home early. God is not to be trifled with. He is God, after all, a holy God, a jealous God. But he's a faithful God, and he's going to keep his word, friend. He's going to keep his word. He's going to finish what he started because he can't deny himself. Does that make sense? With Israel, their own unfaithfulness did not hinder God from being faithful. And you know what the incredible thing is? Even though they never fully experienced what God wanted them to have, they will. The prophecies of the Bible make it incredibly clear. You know, the Bible says that Jesus would come. We sang about it this morning, didn't it? Did the Bible say that he'd come as a babe? Did the Bible say he'd be born of a virgin? Did the Bible say he'd come and be born in Bethlehem? Is that what the Bible said? Well, the Bible says he's coming again. Do you think God intends to keep that promise? Yeah. Menzel mentioned the rapture. Do you think God intends to do that? He's watching his word. He's looking at 1 Thessalonians 4. And he's looking at 1 Corinthians 15. And he's saying, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to snatch him out in the twinkling of an eye. Their mortal bodies will put on immortality. Death and the grave will be gone and have no sting ever again. I'm watching my word to perform at the right time. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. The Bible says he's going to take the devil and throw him in a pit for 1,000 years in chains. You think God intends to do that? Yeah, he's going to. He's going to let him out for a little bit, and then he's going to throw him in the lake of fire. You think God intends to do that? The Bible says that God is going to take the dead, those who have rejected Christ, and judge them at the white throne. And forever they'll be in the lake of fire. They'll be in hell, right? You think God intends to keep his promise there? But the Bible also says that as many as believed him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. Anyone who believes, the Bible says in John 3:16 through 18, says, you know what, if you believe, you'll have eternal life. When somebody believes, you think God keeps his word? See? God keeps his word because God is faithful. He can't deny himself. He's not a man that he should lie. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You think when someone who's stressed and in pain comes to Christ, he's not going to keep his word? We say, well, I'm having a hard time right now and it doesn't seem to be working. Are you really coming to Christ? Are you coming to him? He says this too. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Hey, listen, we're all in Christ's school. We all are. He will bear your burden. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Say, Pastor, the burden's too great. It's not his. If you've got a burden that's too heavy and a yoke that's not light, you're carrying the wrong burden. His burden, you'll know it's his when it's light and easy. Doesn't mean life is light and easy. It means the burden is light and easy because Christ is with you. He's faithful, and you know he's there with you, and he's demonstrating his presence in your life. I don't know, friend. Maybe you're here this morning, and this is not something you usually do. You don't come to church very often, or maybe it's something that's been hit or miss lately. God's not hit or miss. And I'll tell you this, he's been watching your life since you were a little baby. Even before that, he made you. And he created you in your mother's womb. Eternity past, he knew you were coming. God was waiting for you to get here, prepared the whole thing. Then you popped out. And then the plan starts. And he starts showing you things your whole life. Ever since you were a baby. And you started to walk, and God said, she can walk. And then you started to talk, and God got excited. Said, she can talk. And then you started to understand. And God said, okay, now I can pump her head filled with information about me. He started surrounding you with people. Maybe you started to have people share the gospel with you. Maybe if you were in a foreign country, maybe God sent a missionary there to get at you. See, this is the plan. God is faithful. God is not willing that any should perish. Did you hear what I just said? That's what Peter said. God's not willing that a single person perish. You think God's going to keep his word and do everything he can to make sure nobody perishes that doesn't have a choice to believe and hear the gospel? See, God is faithful. This whole Calvinism thing is an affront to the faithfulness of God. But God is faithful. How many understand this morning? You know, you may be at your weakest point. I want to repeat one part of what I said earlier. You may feel you're at your absolute weakest point. This is where God's faithfulness can shine the greatest. Paul said, after he prayed three times, God, would you please take this thorn? No, not yet. Paul went back again. Will you take this thorn from me? It's a bad thorn. It really hurts. I don't get it. I don't see a reason for it. Not yet, Paul. God, will you please take this thorn? I've asked you twice. Now I want to ask you one more time, God. Will you please take? It's a demon sent to buffet me. I even know what it is now. You've shown me. God said, you know what? My grace is sufficient. It's enough for you right now because I'm faithful. And it's in your weakness that my strength is going to show the greatest. That's what I'm after. Are you willing to cooperate with me? Do you want to see this? I'm going to do something great. Do you want to watch? Do you want to see it? Or do you want to keep fighting me? Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, one of the lies that the devil tells us often is that we're the only person in a bad spot. When there are so many people around us that are in a bad spot, in tough spots. And then the devil comes along and says, see, God's not going to be faithful. But you are. You have been. We've never, ever had a reason to doubt you. And as hard as sometimes are to go through, Lord, we know that you've made promises to us. The first thing we probably ought to remember, and we want you to help us with, Lord, is that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of your mouth. That's how we ought to live our life. It's bread. It's energy. It's strength. And the only place it comes from is your word. The second thing we need to remember, Lord, is what we've talked about today. How faithful you are. That you'll keep your word. At one point you said you love them to the uttermost. And you've taken us from the guttermost to the uttermost, Lord. You really have. We're your children, and we pray today for one another. And each person in this room has some difficulty on some level, at some intensity or the other. Some have physical issues. Some have mental issues. Some are experiencing major problems with family members. Some people are scared of death. Some people are troubled with a lot of things, God. But we know this, that you are faithful. And you're going to show yourself. You're about to do something great in every one of those lives. Help us not to be stranded in our situations, staring at the difficulty, staring at the trouble, occupied with the pain, occupied with anything other than you. Lift up our eyes, God, so that we can walk in Hebrews 12:1, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who starts it and the one who completes it. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father, right hand of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, or will be weary and discouraged in our souls. If we don't consider you Christ, if we don't look at you and gaze at you, the result will be tiredness and discouragement. So we lift up our eyes. And today, together, we fix our gaze at that cross and fix our gaze on that promise. You said you'd come. You said you'd die. in our place. You said you'd rise from the dead. You kept your promise. We have no reason to doubt that you'll be faithful in every area of our life. You are the great promise keeper. So we'll wait and we'll watch and we'll do it with faithfulness. We'll do it with our gaze fixed on you, God. Help us to do that. Help us to lift our eyes off what we've been gazing at and gaze at you. Gaze at the crucified, risen, ascended Christ, who is our everything. Help us to do this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.